Hello and welcome back to the Evolving Hockey Podcast. My name is Sean Ferris. I'm joined by the Evolving Wild Twins, Josh and Luke Youngren, who are fresh off a little bit of rest, recovering from finishing automating the site, the playoff previews that they didn't realize the playoffs were going to start on Saturday, and whatever else they've been up to, tweeting out their awards ballots.
Oh, I forgot
everything
about
else.
That.
They've been.
What's
that's
that, Sean?
How fast the last week has been.
I did send a tweet out like very late on, was it? So this is what happens. I'll give you background. The NHL is never all that upfront about when the playoffs are going to start. Like, you know, at the very beginning of the season when the regular season is done, but then they obviously, because of the way that the teams have to be decided and they don't know and scheduling and all that stuff, it's not ever really announced until usually it's like after the regular season ends. And usually, at least historically, like this, the regular season tends to end on like a Wednesday or Thursday, sometimes Friday, depends kind of on the system or the situation. And then usually the playoffs start like next, the following Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday sometimes. Like that has been historically, I think,
And maybe on Sunday.
Maybe
right?
on
if it
Sunday.
Ends on Thursday. Maybe it's going to end on Sunday.
So we're
getting ready. You know, we're like, okay, end of the regular season, finishing up all the data stuff, whatever, and be like, okay, when are we going to do the playoff stuff? And then it's like the NHL tweets out at like, I don't know, it was after midnight.
It was Friday morning at 12, like 30.
About 1:30 or Eastern time. And they're like, oh, hey, first two games of the playoffs are on Saturday. And we both, and Josh yelled into me from the other room, and we were both like, fuck.
Because so we have to kind of finalize the regular season data, and then we use that regular season data from the site to then generate our playoff models, and that's what we use for our playoff previews, which we've now done. I think this is our third year doing it, I want to say. Or is this fourth? I can't remember at this point. I think it's
maybe
our
fourth year.
Maybe it's our fourth year. We need, like, usually at least for our stuff, if you don't wait for the season to finalize, then you would need to prorate the season data to kind of have it line up with the prior seasons, blah, 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 all this stuff. Anyway, so I realized, at like 1 in the morning on Friday morning, I guess it was still Thursday night, kind of in our heads, is that that we had to get our playoff stuff done. Now Sean was the responsible one and had already started his previews because he somehow, like a lot of people, just assumed the playoffs were starting on Saturday or soon when they had not. The NHL had never been this quickly.
On this one. I gotta stop you quick. I had. I think back when I was like in Raleigh at like the first week of April, I was like, we should start pre-writing some of our previews.
You did say that, yeah.
Because we know that this is how the process goes every year, that we get like, we end up doing it last second. So if we pre-wrote some of it, because it doesn't necessarily rely on the teams playing or you go back and edit it, then we'd be in better shape. So yes, I had 3 of the 8 done.
Yeah,
and you did have other ideas about doing like additional head-to-head, like season matchups for the teams that are playing, and doing other, you know, maybe charts and all this fancy stuff. And we had to get it all done in a day, so I didn't have time to do any of that. They were all good ideas, Sean.
They were great, and maybe next year we'll be a little bit more responsible. We were, as Sean mentioned, let's put a bow on that. Is please go check out the playoff preview. We're a couple games into the playoffs now, so like. And we're going to talk about this.
We didn't have time to do a podcast before the playoffs started.
Because we would have had to do it Friday night, but Friday I was working all day writing, and Luke was working all day getting the projections together. So I guess it's just how it's been. So, go check out the playoff preview on the site. It's the same as it's been basically the last couple of years. It's the exact same because I just copied all the styling because I didn't do anything differently, which is
easy. If you like that type of content, that doesn't really make us any money because we don't have any ads on the site. So if you appreciate the work we're doing, please consider subscribing because, you know, we'd love to have you around. We got all types of cool data and models and stuff that you could check out.
And, you know, some people might not know it because Luke and I don't really care about this stuff and we don't tweet about it, but there's full playoff data on the site. You can go and select from change regular to playoffs. It's all on there. The only thing
I was using it today. So
and it was working?
If there's anybody that's using it.
There you go.
I will say that it's not the most easily, I guess, discoverable because it's like normally, like I probably should have it where the sites that have playoff data or the pages that have playoff data, once the playoffs start, I would like it to just switch over to the playoffs or auto selected.
Why haven't we done that, bro? That's a good idea. That would just be playoff.
Honestly, I just do not care about playoff data. Like, well I'm not. It's just I do care because about, you know, data integrity and having making sure it's all right, but. In terms of that, we only ever use regular season data in our models, so I'm more focused on the regular season.
I will say the one thing is that we don't provide Rapham or Gar or XGAR data in the playoffs. I think we usually will, after the playoffs are done, like kind of run it and tweet about it just to see.
No, we don't. Well, when have we ever done that?
No, we've definitely had.
That's a new idea for this year.
No, we've definitely done that.
It just gets all messed up because you get like, you know, four teams playing like so many more games than everybody else, and then it's like.
Yeah,
it just doesn't really make a lot of sense to like. Well, it's not when the team, like, obviously this player is going to be leading.
Yeah,
you know, the team that the players from the two finalists are going to, you know,
anyway,
and so it just kind of skews everything.
That's a bow on that. Sean mentioned automation, and I guess we could talk just quickly about this, not get into this too long. Some people know this is that we've for years since we started the site, Luke has been running the R scripts every night, as Sean would say, sweating.
Shout out to Luke.
Yeah, during the regular season, Luke runs our entire data process manually. He has been for years, and which makes it difficult for us to leave during the season and go anywhere. So historically, during the regular season, Luke and I don't go on vacation. We don't leave. We're always at home. I guess if we can, in the rare scenario where we can find a secure Wi-Fi that we can like work from, we've done stuff like that. But we've been working, I think, and we're probably going to have something on the site just kind of talking about, I think, the state of the site and kind of like general thoughts and ideas for the future and whatnot in coming, I guess maybe the coming weeks or this summer sometime. But we have been working to automate this entire process for most of the season, and it's now fully automated. We were shooting. We have a family who is goes to school in Indiana, and she had her senior piano recital a couple weeks. How long ago? Was it 2 weeks ago? Anyway,
it was just like a week ago.
We had everything updated and went out of town. And then one of the rare situations that still is a problem with, and it's, I don't know, I don't want to get too detailed, caused an issue where the site didn't update. And that's kind of what happened. I think that we in the future are no longer going to have any kind of problems like that. But I guess I wanted to address the fact that the reason why sometimes the site isn't updated is pretty straightforward. It's just because we weren't around and couldn't fix it before it worked. But that's all done now. For the most part.
Kind of. The playoffs, you know, that's a whole other conversion into for data processing, so we'll get that automated. But anyway,
I will say
it's mainly why we haven't been, like, there haven't really been any new features or any new fancy bells and whistles to the site is because we've just been having to wait till to work from 1 to 5 in the morning when there's new data to test that everything's working correctly. So it's been a slog this season, but I think we should be pretty close to being through with it. And, you know, we had a couple weeks there where it was working smooth, you know, smoothly. Everything was going fine. So it's I will say that if you're if I could go back to 6 years ago and tell past me that before you do anything, you should make sure that you should start from the basis of all of the data updates have to be automated.
For anyone who has, in this is any field, with any daily or monthly or weekly or whatever data updates that you start out doing manually because that's just how it works, you should immediately see if you can get them automated so you don't have to do them in case something happens.
After the fact.
After the fact, because let me tell you, like, it would be one thing if all we had were like the box score stuff and that was all the only thing, but automating like the Rapa models has been an absolute.
Well, it's not bad. It's just the.
Well, it
is. It's just the whole thing. But, you know, we got a lot of. You know, I'm talking about if you, you know, like the stuff, we got a lot of data on the site. And, you know, maybe consider subscribing.
This is all just one long ad. Now let's go to break and listen to our sponsor talk about, you know, also that.
Anyway. But also on a completely different note, for my money, the drive from, like, Chicago to Indy, like let's just say Milwaukee to Indianapolis, for instance.
Or Madison.
Or Madison is a terrible drive. It's an awful drive.
We decided, because it's actually like, Sean, you're a big plane guy. You're a big airport dude.
Huge shout out to Boeing.
Sure. It is expensive to fly from Minneapolis to like either Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana. We went to the sand dunes when we were in junior high on a trip. That's the only other time, and I think we auditioned at Indiana University. But we drove the full way from Minneapolis to Indianapolis, and then we drove north to Marion, Indiana, which was another hour and a half drive. It took us like 12 hours to drive, and it was just horrible. Anyway, so yeah, it's been a bit of a hectic week, but now I think we should transition fully into some playoff coverage, right? Yeah, so let's cover a little bit of playoff stuff, right? Because we spent 10 minutes talking about nonsense and whatever, and
hey, it was important.
It's not nonsense. It's important that we explain
about
to
Wisconsin.
So here's the thing. Back to that. I really like driving through Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a great state to drive through. Driving through Chicago specifically makes you hate that city. I mean, either the suburbs, everything about Chicago is terrible.
Terrible driving
experience. The city is very nice. I really like the city. We have a lot of friends in Chicago. We've been there numerous times. But if you're in those suburbs or even in Chicago, it's just the worst. Fucking terrible.
Driving.
And then
yeah,
you
the
just
highways.
Drive in Indiana, and it's just the same nonsense of just like endless suburbs, basically.
Anyway,
sorry.
Okay.
So Sean triggered me once more about kind of my issues with Chicago area and
driving.
Okay, so anyway, we're not going to talk about Chicago. There's not an easy
playoffs.
Segue. Yeah, playoffs. Where should we start? Because we're recording on a Tuesday night. This is a day late because Sean had to watch
Tuesday,
his Bruins.
Tuesday.
He had to watch his Bruins last night, of course, you know, and they unfortunately lost to the Leafs, so now it's a pretty close series. Going to game seven. The playoffs started on Saturday, so we are now on day four, I think.
Yes,
right?
Day four. Currently, the Rangers and Capitals are tied in the second, 2-2.
Not for too long, but the Rangers going to the power play here.
Oh, okay. And then Florida is up 2-0 on Tampa after one. Oh, okay. Yeah, they're in the intermission.
And then the other series, the Bruins and Leafs are tied 1-1. Carolina is up 2-0 on the Islanders.
Say it so casually as if last night didn't happen.
That was such a funny game. Well, you know, we're like super high on Carolina.
Yeah,
I mean, we
want to do this? This is very, very on brand for us. We don't really have an outline. We're winging it. So,
Let's just say that our models all season, the power of the Corsi is not cannot be downplayed in our models.
Do we want to just start on the Hurricanes Islanders?
Yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah,
because
right? That's the series, right?
Yeah.
It is the series.
I mean, for my money, I think the Winnipeg Avalanche series is going to, or Winnipeg Colorado series is going to be like my favorite. Because I just think that they're kind of fun teams that are pretty evenly matched. But Sean is—he's not a West Coast.
I mean,
not
Leafs
a Western
Bruins
conference.
Is going to be
yeah. The content from Leafs Bruins is already
also Matthews. Saw that goal. We were watching mostly the Leafs Bruins game last night, and then I would flip over to
the
Canes.
We started on the Canes Islanders, and then we went to the Bruins Leafs game because that's where the pure online. If you want that online content, the Leafs Bruins game series is that. And there were some funny moments in it, but then sorry, Luke, continue.
Oh, I was just saying, like, yeah, we saw Austin Matthews score that sweet goal. Who was the pass from?
Domi, I think, right?
Was it Domi? No, or was it? Yeah. Anyway, and then it was like, okay, Leafs are up. Let's go to the Canes. And then it was 3-0 Islanders. I was like, what? Like, we watched the beginning of, and I don't think the Islanders had a shot for like the first 13 minutes of the game or something.
Yeah.
And then we come back after watching the Leafs Bruins, and they were down. The Canes were down 3-0, and that was kind of funny. And then the Canes proceeded to just disintegrate, or they just proceeded to incinerate the Islanders.
The Islanders disintegrated.
Yes, the Islanders disintegrated. They basically Josh just posted this. Our rolling was that the Corsi chart.
Yeah,
where I don't think the Islanders like had a shot. They had like two shot attempts in the second and third period or something like that.
I think the raw shot attempts were 110 for Carolina to like. But then it was interesting.
I got it pulled up.
I saw that tweet last night, and then on our site I went to it, and it automatically scored us. And because of the score, it dropped the Islander or the Canes down by 12 shot attempts. I think, which I thought was really like just because of the number that they had.
And because they were playing from down 3-0 the whole game.
Yeah, so they were pushing the whole time, which makes it, I don't know. We haven't really talked about score adjustment in a while, but if a team in that situation, it's expected that Carolina is going to be shooting more because they're shooting from behind, they're pushing, and then usually that's just what we see historically. The team that's ahead in the score usually will not generate as much offense because they're kind of
trying to
hold the lead, so they aren't pushing as much. So because of that, Carolina is expected to shoot more, and so to adjust all teams and all games, their shot totals are kind of limited because they're down the whole
game.
And
it goes, we do it in a, if you're down three, down two, down one, tied, up one, up two, up three, and that's from the perspective of the home team, and you do it that way.
Anyway,
but anyway,
this was Sean's series. What was your main take? What was your big takeaway from this when you were writing up?
The utter domination, basically. Like, that's what I think is, like, the fun of it all in this one is going to be, like, I don't know, Carolina just peppering the Islanders goaltenders, which I'm assuming, based on everything, based on Patrick Watts, could just be a Varlamov the entire time, but could be mistaken. Just completely peppering them, trying to get through, having a tough time breaking through, and then occasionally just having bursts, while like the Islanders just score on very few shots.
Yeah.
Like last night with their 3 goals on 12 shots on goal.
Yeah.
And
then they just hope that's good enough, and while they, you know, keep getting
shelled,
yeah.
It is funny.
So it's kind of fun.
It is funny to watch
the.
I told you
the Rangers just scored on this power play.
Right? Yeah,
they have a good power play.
That's their whole team.
That's the whole team.
Telekinesis or something.
We're really high on the Rangers too, I believe.
Hold on, that's not the series we're on. We'll get to that one in a little bit.
But we're kind of done. What else is there to say about Canes Islanders?
I mean,
I don't know though. I do feel like this Canes team is much better than in years past because they went out and they acquired the skill. We never did like a playoff preview in any sense, right?
Yeah,
no.
I
this
do
is
think
our
that
playoff
they're better
preview.
Because they did go out and acquire more skilled players to kind of complement their dominant Corsi style of play, if you will. Like,
yeah.
I think altogether, like that first line, Gensel, Aho, and Svechnikov through two games has yet to yield a shot attempt against.
Oh, really?
5-on-5.
Oh, against.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me. Well, it might.
Yeah,
that's
like
pretty
they
hard.
Have 100% Corsi 4 percentage or something like that.
Oh, and I do combos like, in the playoffs, right?
I think go check that, Luke.
I'll go check it.
I think that was a thing that I saw today from somebody else, given that it's like Corsi 4. But like, you know, Gensel's definitely worked out. He has skill to add to the top six, and then their bottom six is very dominant play-wise. And, you know, I think they'll have no problem really putting away the Islanders. I think there was like maybe a bull case on the Islanders for a bit. Just because they came in hot,
yeah.
But,
no, we have the they're 100% shots for. They haven't allowed a shot against.
Shot on goal.
A shot, yeah. So they
okay. So it's not Corsi with shots.
Yeah,
on goal.
It's
okay.
their shots for per 60 is 38.2, and their shots against per 60 is 0, which is kind of funny. But they do have the highest Corsi 4 percentage of any line at 87.6. So and their XG. Their XG share is 96.3.
This is the most Carolina Hurricanes thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Is, you know, they're a line that.
Now, to be fair, they are playing the Islanders.
Yeah.
So
who are not particularly
who
like.
Kind of,
set
I don't
up.
Know, somehow like made it into. I still don't really understand
how well,
it was
how funny
them
watching those
Capitals.
Games. I kind of just didn't realize how. What were they? They're like 20-5 or so. Like their record heading into like into the playoffs was like absurd. And they were like, I don't know, won like basically every game heading into the playoffs, more or less. I mean, not entirely.
The Islanders?
But, yeah.
Well, the Islanders were 8-1-1 in their last 10.
Yeah,
heading into it, and I mean under Waugh, like since January, I mean even their quote unquote like and their underlying numbers were like okay, like fairly decent. They had positive XG, Corsi, goal share 5-on-5, but I mean they're also the Islanders, so I don't know. It felt really strong being like 90% on the Hurricanes to take the series.
Yeah.
But
and
know,
I
frightening,
yeah.
But that's gonna really help with the logs lost if
yeah.
the Hurricanes win here.
Yeah,
know?
Well it's the same it's gonna be but the Dallas if they you know if Dallas comes in and blows it. I don't
so
know.
So our stuff has been very high and this is not necessarily this is like I kind of expected, I would say, at this point, because R and a lot of other, like, kind of the stat sites, like Money Puck, Brad, I think, as well, Natural Stat Trick, like, the Canes have always been like a very highly projected team, even when they weren't that great, like they, just because of their underlying kind of shot attempt numbers. And models have always kind of been down on the Islanders. Like even like, and this is, you know, I think become a bit of a meme for Islanders fans is that of course the models aren't going to like them. So like, this is kind of the same thing. 90% seemed very high to me, even after we, because it's like, Sean, I think you mentioned it was like, I think the betting markets weren't even above 80, right? I don't.
Or they were at about 80. I don't know.
And I think there was
I think, yeah, they were around 80.
There was a glimmer of like that thought where it's like, oh, this is the, here we go. The Canes are just like shooting away and not scoring. And, you know, they're still the same team. But then they obviously kind of put, you know, kept doing their thing and everything worked out. The thing I thought was funny is that they're, at least by our models and the rosters in the charts that Luke put together, like their defensemen are like insane. They're all like 80th or above percentile. They're all like super blue. And it's like, I think that's easily like maybe the strong, at least by the way that we display rosters, is easily the strongest defenseman group of I've ever seen.
I mean, I think it would be like, we don't do any like full simulations of like who our actual cup favorites are, but I would think that out of the East it's probably the Hurricanes. And then out of the West, I guess I
haven't looked at
it's
the
kind of hard. I would say it's probably either the Oilers or the Stars, but I'm not exactly sure. And then also it's like, well, the Leafs and Bruins were both very good. It's not like, you know, the Rangers Capital series, which is almost as evenly mismatched as the Canes Islanders series. And, yeah, I don't know. We could just do the Rangers Capitals if you wanted to.
Yeah, well, because that's, I was looking at the bracket. So the winner of Carolina Islanders plays the winner of Rangers Capitals.
And if it's Rangers Hurricanes in the second round, that would be a, that would be a very enjoyable.
It seems like that's what is.
Because what? That's like the best power play in the league going up against the best penalty kill in the league, right? Isn't that? I haven't.
Probably.
Quite.
I think so. Something like that.
I mean, wasn't the best penalty kill of the Flyers this year?
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought the Canes.
Strong defensive team versus a very strong offensive team. Conflicting styles that manage pretty well. It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Rangers Capital series, I think, I guess if we just are switching over there, it was just a funny one because of how much our models just do not like the Capitals at all.
Yeah.
Which I think is not surprising because they were terrible this year. And they have like, you know, I think, what, they're... I guess they still have a couple good players, but like, I don't know. None of their roster looks good by our stuff from like a projected standpoint. I don't know, Sean, what your takeaway was. You didn't.
Well, what did we have? It was it like 85% Rangers? Where were we at?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
which is
very high.
As well.
Let me, to be full disclaimer here, I can't really like do anything about, you know, it's like I just wait for the models to run. We just do a Monte Carlo simulation. And what am I supposed to do? Like, go crank the number, change them a little bit? Like, oh, I'm going to go subjectively remove 5%.
So Dom does.
Ooh, shots
fired.
I'm kidding.
I don't know.
I think that there are ways that we could.
Let me be clear. I could do that, right? I could just secretly code in a little -5, you know, if team equals NYR.
It's not the first time we've been accused of doing that.
Playoff projection -5, you know, like that would be really easy, but I don't. I just then go look over our whole code to make sure that I don't have any errors, because when Carolina comes out at 90%, I'm like, oh,
one
God
thing
damn
I will,
it.
One thing I will say in doing a simulation for a 7-game series is it can be kind of difficult to account for what the goaltending will be like. I think when we get to Vancouver, this will be one where we, you know, our playoff probabilities were specifically like Demko is going to play most of these games, and then now looks like he might miss the whole series with a, you know, a re-injured knee, I believe it was, after the first game. Same kind of deal with, like, we had Omar projected for the Boston series, and
do we
now
want to talk about that one?
Sure, we can go into
okay.
that.
So
should we just talk about Rangers Capitals, or and then just say that's,
I mean,
the one we talked
no,
about?
No, I mean, this series is over.
It's like, what?
I don't even think they're going to go play in D.C. at this point.
Capitals are just going to say, we're done.
Sorry, Capitals fans.
Yeah, Ovechkin's like, I don't want to do playoffs.
I did see Charlie Lindgren take a team in the AHL deep a couple years back when he was playing for the Thunderbirds, the St. Louis Blues affiliate. And that was fun. And
well,
that's what earned him the job in... or got him that contract in Washington, so it's kind of fun to see him play against.
Well, correct me.
Ryan is his brother, right?
Ryan Lindgren? I mean, it would make sense.
mean, we had him. I think at least when we did our awards thread, which we're probably not going to get to, I think that he was maybe a top five,
we
six,
had,
seven.
Yeah, we had Vesna. Him in our Vezina candidates. I mean, there's a lot of, after like Hellebuck, there's a lot of tie, like very, very close goalies in our ratings, like from this year. So it's kind of like, well, Hellebuck's going to win, and then you can kind of make little subjective decisions if you want to about who else you'd put on your Vezina ballot.
But I don't know. I guess, yeah, the Capitals Rangers series is kind of like, well, I mean, what else is, what is there really to talk about? The
also,
Capitals
ended
the season with the worst goal differential anyone's ever seen, and they're in the playoffs against the Rangers, who were one of the best teams in the league with, like,
to be clear, their goal differential was what, minus 37?
37, I think.
And the Sharks were like minus 130, so it's not the worst goal differential.
I mean, for a playoff
ever.
Team.
Oh, no. Okay, I see what
that's
you're saying.
That's kind of what
worst goal differential for
I'm
a playoff team.
I'm making a joke about
I
how
know you're making but
Sportsnet
I think the
said
last thing I will say is that I think Adam Fox was, his season was also undercovered. I thought he had a fantastic season again, and definitely should be in the Norris talk. I didn't really hear much.
Do we have I'm by our models, I'm trying to think, because we right now have him as 99.6 percentile. Is there someone, is he like the second? Is Makar ahead of him?
I think he might be the first.
Okay.
It's like, I'm trying to remember who.
I mean, I can just go look right now.
I think it is Fox. We have high. I think that Quinn Hughes is and Bouchard are both up there too. Makar, obviously. McAvoy is. But I'm trying to think of.
Anyway, yeah, that's anyway. Our. Sorry, Rangers and Caps fans. If the Rangers win, we'll get to cover them a little bit more, I think, heading into the
second round. I don't
really
know what else to say about that
series. Yeah, I don't know. The Capitals are just not a very good team. They have a couple, like, you know, long term, like, legends, obviously, and I think they're, you know, Charlie Lindgren's good goalie, could cause some problems, but yeah, I think that's our coverage on that. As basically the same way that Sean covered it in the write up, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. This feels like a. TJ has been getting mad on the Bruins, though. So I was kind of surprised that they went with Swayman game one, just given how much better Ullmark has been, like, say post all-star break, if you want to pick like a point in time. So usually, like, I don't know, you usually run hot goaltenders, right? But the splits kind of would go with Maple Leafs with Swayman, as he's played like really good against the Maple Leafs and has gotten more of those. So Swayman starts game one, and then before game two, Jim Montgomery played the vowel trick. The Rangers just scored again as we speak. And so I don't know if you guys saw
I didn't,
all that
I don't
jazz,
think
that he said that the starting goaltender would be would have two vowels in each, their first and their last name. So I was thinking, so all the momentum after game one in the media and everything and Henrik Lundqvist and whatnot was like, you have to go back to Swayman for game two after only allowing one goal in game one. And so I'm thinking Jim Montgomery is just trying to be silly, but that Y is a vowel in Jeremy.
There's also two A's in Swayman and two E's in Jeremy. Did he mean separate vowels? Different vowels in each the first.
Are you trying to tell me that Montgomery was trying to?
There'd be two vowels in their first.
Yeah, but there's two
name.
E's and two A's in Jeremy and Swayman.
Okay, but he's just meaning that those are vowels
and not Y's. He's saying the Y's aren't vowels.
Sometimes Y.
Well, I don't exactly know, but the
sometimes
Y was a vowel.
Sometimes Y.
Right. In that case, the Y was a vowel. Okay, so. It definitely wasn't Jeremy Swayman, but I was thinking he was just trying to be silly. But Linus Ullmark was the correct answer, and Linus Ullmark then ended up
giving up goals.
So it was just blowing my mind the whole time, because I'm like, I swear to God, Jeremy Swayman starting, Ullmark, like the way that the pads and uniform that he wore in practice would have indicated that he would be backing up again, like everything. I was like, it's Swayman, right? And no, it turns out it really was the two vowels and first name.
That's I think I think coaches should use riddles more. I think that's a fun approach to, you know, like at least talking about players or whatever.
Yeah,
not
but
necessarily.
Yeah, I think Leafs Bruins is going to be.
You can't.
I was very surprised. I don't think we had Ryan Reeves in our projected rosters for the Leafs, and he has.
We did not.
No, and he has.
Didn't run that by
well,
me?
Well, I was. I checked.
I didn't realize I checked you didn't run it by me. But the Nylander being
that's,
out is,
I think
has hurt,
we,
but we all kind of
well,
knew.
So,
I mean, I think
the,
we did we have sorry. Nylander in? I think
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, well, he was, yes, yeah, he's their third highest forward behind Marner. And
well,
Matt,
this is the other thing about doing the playoff projections is, like, right, if we had Nylander out and we had Swayman and Ullmark splitting time, like, that's going to drop the Leafs' probability, which we had, I think, at 58%.
A little less than 59.
Yeah. So, like, if we had Nylander out and Swayman was in, that's going to make the Leafs worse and the Bruins a little better because our model just generally likes Swayman a little bit more than Ullmark. That's not, they're very, still both very high in our model, but that's going to change things. And if Nylander's out and they put in Ryan Reeves, I mean, I'm thinking that's like, that could be like up to a 8-9% swing to back towards Boston. Like
our motto is really, as a spoiler, they really do not like Reeves. And
yes.
They never like Reeves.
And they do really like Nylander.
Well, he's playing the whole season.
So it's hard. I think if we could update these and go back and if we had a perfect roster for series, obviously the projections would look a little bit more kind of, you know, spot on. But I think the series so far is they're through two games. I'm not quite sure. Has it been reported? What happened with Nylander? I don't know. It's, you know, at least during the game last night.
No
so
one knows.
Hopefully he's all right.
He woke up wrong.
Maybe ate something, didn't agree with him or something. You know, who knows? I don't. We can't ever know these things. But I think the Leafs losing Nylander is a big lot. Big, you know, I think a huge hole for the team.
But the Bruins didn't. Isn't there one of their defensemen out now? Peak. Yeah.
Yeah, Andrew Peak, who model doesn't like. So, dude, the Lightning just tied it up.
2-2?
So I don't know who the replacement's going to be, if it's going to be Weatherspoon coming in. They called up Lowry. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Forbert is ready. So it'll be interesting. But
going 13-5.
What's that?
13 forwards.
13-5 yeah. to put in an extra forward.
I don't know the Bruins forward? Roster, so
the
I couldn't
depth,
tell
anyway.
You. Who's their? Maybe they trade for Lozon.
It would be James.
Yeah.
Riemsdyk,
oh, is Van Riemsdyk not in?
Yeah,
oh,
he's been
okay.
Scratched.
We had him in.
I think we had him in.
It's tough.
It's hard to know the rosters. I don't know. What am I supposed to go ask? I don't have, like.
I think that's going to be a revolving door. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in over.
Well, and the thing I've wanted to do is, like, somehow build in some type of like simulation for random player injuries into our models, where you kind of take the depth of a team and then, like, each of the 20,000 runs, there's like an X percent chance that one player gets injured, and then you randomize this player gets injured, and then you randomize a random person from their depth gets put in, kind of thing, which is very complicated to, like, code out. It just gets really kind of, like, it's not super easy to do. I've always wanted to do that, but we just never had time. In the times when I'm doing these models, like, we had one day to run it, and I guess I could have, like, been running it earlier.
We could maybe, like, look at it. We've thought about doing this for some, just messing around with this for our full season, I guess, projections as well, where we simulate the entire season. Because
then
it
would, like, for instance, teams that, you know, like the Oilers or, I don't know, teams, like, that have really strong top end and not a lot of depth, I think they would, potentially, it would be a more variable outcome.
Well, like, for instance,
did
take the Devils this year, right? Like, yeah, they kind of lost Dougie Hamilton and for the, I think, most of the season, and Jack Hughes was out for, I don't know,
like 20 games
20,
or something.
Was it 20, more than 20 games? And that kind of thing is a very long, has a big long-term impact on the team's performance and how what we should expect of that team. Anyway, sorry, we're off track because
yeah,
I figured let's move on to the series.
But no,
that I have
anything
not
else to talk about with Bruins
it's
and gonna Leafs?
It's going to be a fun series.
It's
going to
be
a fun series.
It's
going to
be a fun series. Yeah,
yeah. They looked pretty evenly matched. There were some funny antics at the end. I also think the Leafs are, I think, maybe more prone to be idiots. Like, I mean, the Bruins are as well, but they're better able to take advantage of that, I think.
Well, and there was that Bertuzzi slash, which is pretty funny, and then Marchand just fell over. Like, I thought it was like, yeah. It's like, it's like, A, shouldn't be doing that, right? But B, it's Marchand, and of course he's going to just fall over and draw a penalty.
In a way,
which is funny. I was laughing at that.
I just have to love Marchand. I just think he's so funny, and, like, you know, I know it's a little sleazy, it's a little slimy.
I think on that one, like, they were. I think what they wanted to do was to take
Poile and Labushkin there, but that they wanted to give the man advantage to the Leafs because they thought Labushkin, with the exchange,
would
get
Labushkin, four. Would be Coyle would get two.
I guess should have went alone, if you will.
Yeah.
I think it was a way for them to control the game. And like I feel like if that occurred, if that didn't occur, they wouldn't have given it. Or they would have gone and given Marchand an embellishment. Like I think I've kind of come around to the fact that like refs are gonna call the game the way that just want to call the game. And
but that did feel like the Bruins should get a man advantage. I don't know exactly know why.
Well, the one thing was, what did Coyle really do to deserve the offset, right? Like, I didn't understand. He just got punched in the face and then got called for 2 minutes as well.
I think he refused to...
like, disengage?
I guess, give up with the interaction. Exactly. And so he kept engaging. So I think, like, they kind of wanted to give Coyle something, but didn't quite want to give Coyle something.
Yeah.
So, like... They just found a way to blow somebody else from the
I think Bertuzzi gave them a pretty good reason
to discipline
Coyle.
Now, you could have called embellishment
sense?
On Marchand, but I will say I am in full support of players doing little bits of extra business to draw a penalty. I think it's hilarious, and I think it's a very good strategy, and if you can get away with it without embellishing, like...
And then eventually the refs are going to have to... Yeah, absolutely. But like,
Saying he didn't embellish. It wasn't.
Here's the thing. Marchand's very good at doing these things. There's players who have figured out that they can get away with it for the time being before the refs start really properly calling embellishment. They still do because there are some ridiculously embellished plays that also look hilarious. I just find
I'm not talking about like some of the the flops you see in like soccer, right? Like that is like comically bad. Like it's like kind of almost embarrassing.
Sorry, I just laugh at players overselling penalties. Yeah. I think that stuff's kind of funny in hockey because they're not doing it in a way that's like,
it's like, somebody hit them on the back of the leg with a hockey stick.
They look like, here's the thing, they look like little children, like siblings who are 7 years old. Like when Luke and I were like 5 years old and like my brother like hit me kind of hard and I just immediately start bawling and fall over like I'm dying. Like I think that's kind of what hockey players remind me of, is little children. it always makes me laugh. Anyway, let's just finish off the East. With the Panthers Lightning, which I haven't really paid attention to, I'm going to be completely honest. That's like the one series.
No.
Didn't watch game one. I think the other game is on right now, and
you
I was watching
game
the
one?
Rangers Capitals game. So I assume that the Panthers, because they were good all season.
Well, we have Panthers at 71%. Here, I have the fucking article up right here. It's the first 76%. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Sean, what's your take on that?
I think the Panthers are rightfully strong favorites. I hate them, I guess, but I like them to win the series. But and the Lightning are largely just special teams merchants. They're very good on special teams. But they're special teams merchants in a way. And... I don't know. I think the Bolts might tie it up in this game potentially, I guess.
Is it 2-2 still?
I feel like the
it is 2-2, and Florida has a power play, is what I'm seeing.
And Florida won the first game, so this is game two, right? Just to remind our listeners of when we're watching the games. But
I think, I don't know, just based on the, like, our models still really love, I know Tkachuk had kind of a down year, but our model still really likes it. It's funny, like, I don't know why... the model, like a down year from a player like Tkachuk, or I saw this with Ottinger, is like it doesn't really do much to their projection because the prior 2 years were so strong that it's like, I don't know. There's something that with how the model is being trained is that we use past 3 years as a separate predictors. So the model can, see, okay, they were, if any patterns between prior seasons, we don't mush them all their seasons together in some type of weighted average, which I don't know if that would work better. I didn't have time to do that, to check that out the last time I did this. That's more of what we do in the contract. What we do in the contract projections is we smush all of the past three seasons
into
one.
That's a technical term, smush.
Yeah, it's a technical term for model building and statistics is smush. Based on a estimated weights for the prior 3 years, which could be another option to try out. But in both the skater and goalie models, it seems like when players have very strong prior, like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and then a down last year, which the, in this situation, the 23-24 regular season would be their last year. It doesn't really seem to impact it that much. Like, I still think we have Ottinger like a top three goalie, which he didn't look like one last night against Vegas, but we'll get to that after the break. But yeah, Florida, I don't know. I don't really have much more to say about
they're kind of interesting
Panthers.
Teams. I think the last thing I'll say is that they seem like on paper, like they're kind of like the Panthers are just like what the Lightning were like 3 years ago or 2 years ago. Like they're just kind of better in every way. I guess they don't have Vasilevsky. They're still running, I think, Bobrovsky is their go-to. Like I don't think there's been any real goalie changes there, but Bobrovsky is significantly worse by our stuff than Vasilevsky, but it seems like basically the Lightning are just a worse version of the Panthers, or the Panthers are like what the Lightning were like 3 or 4 years ago, and they just have a much better top end all around. But the Lightning have a lot of experience, and I think they also have Vasilevsky, who has, I don't know, does he have the most playoff games in the league right now? Like at current, I would be my guess. I don't know. We could look at that.
Do you what Ryan McDonough?
I would say yeah.
Like
I guess I was saying goalie.
195 or something playoff games. But yeah, I know.
Sean looks like he's disagreeing with me in some way. I don't know.
No, he seemed like he was wincing at a game.
Oh
yeah, Sorelli. I don't know. He might be out for the game.
Oh no.
Yeah, he went into the boards quite awkwardly. Lower body injury.
Oh no.
Well, that's just my take. Is that I think,
also we don't need to talk about Kucherov not being on our heart top five or whatever.
I like Dom's tweet last night with Austin. He's like, Austin Matthews is having a great game, but not enough secondary assists from
secondary
my appetite.
Assists. Which is I will say that Tampa fans, I'm sorry, I apologize to you personally. For us leaving, he like seriously, Kucherov would have been like number 10 of the players. I think I listed like 8 or 9 players.
He's the new Draisaitl for us.
So it's like I don't know. There's something about his defense. I know people like are going to be like, well, that doesn't matter because that's not what he does. But we can't just.
I mean, it's not like his defense is terrible. It's just that there are a few other players.
I mean, it was pretty bad last year.
Anyway, we spent way too long in this first part, and we still need to cover the Western Conference. Sean, let's maybe go to break here, and we'll come back and talk some Western series.
Well, we have to reserve a spot for our sponsor, and then we'll talk about the Worst Coast next.
Yeah. See you
did
then.
You say Worst Coast. Okay, whatever.
All right.
Boo.
Boo. All right. Bye, Sean. I'm cutting us off right now, Sean. We're going to break. All right. Bye, Sean. Finally, we'll see you in 5 minutes.
The Evolving Hockey Podcast is brought to you by EvolvingHockey.com, your home for advanced NHL statistics on the web. When you become a subscriber to EvolvingHockey.com, you gain access to such evaluation tools as NHL goals above replacement, regularized adjusted plus minus, skater contract projections, visualizations, charts, and much more. Visit evolving-hockey.com/login today to become a subscriber.
Welcome back for our break. I've got a ton of energy for 9:30 at night. Luke and Josh are still waking up from the morning. They got their cups of coffee.
I got up early today,
Dunkin' Donuts.
Kind of.
No, this is a local. I think we talked about this. We've been doing this for a long time. As we go, there's a local roaster in town. It's not like it's crazy expensive. It's just like really fresh. And we buy this started during COVID. We buy like 6 pounds of coffee at a time, coffee whole bean, and then we have a grinder. But I just use a classic Black & Decker drip coffee machine. It was like $25 at Target. I've had it. We use it for coffee all the time. We went out. One of our recent things we've been trying to do, and I don't know, Sean, if you ever had one of these, they're hard to find now, is like a portable like CD player, like a Walkman or Discman.
This is before his time.
Now you're talking things like before I was born.
So did you, but you didn't, you never had one or saw people with these? Did you not ever?
A CD player?
Yeah, it's like, so
when I was very young, I had one.
Okay, yeah. So I had these before an iPod, you know, we're 10 years older than you, or, you know, about that, give or take. I had, like, Luke and I each had, like, Walkman or Discman or whatever you want to call it, a Sony, Panasonic, Iowa, I think is how you pronounce it. It doesn't really matter. And I don't know how many of these we went through, but every kid had one of these. A lot of them did. And even parents did. People before CD players were in cars, they would buy these and put them in their car. And it's just, like, a circular, I don't know, device that you plug headphones into and you put a CD in, and they're really actually kind of handy. But then once the iPod and portable media went, you know, came out, then they just disappeared. But now you can't get a car. You can't buy a new car that has a CD player in them. I mean, like, it's very difficult to find a brand new car, and we had to get a new car recently because our old one just kind of, you know, I won't go into that story, but we needed a new car. And the old one was getting old. And so we got a new car, and there are no options to buy a car that has a CD player in it. And so one of the options is you can just buy one of these, you know, Walkman and plug it into your eighth inch in a car and use that. But you cannot find these CD players. They used to be everywhere. So we've been running around, like, just for fun in the afternoon, like, just stopping into various thrift stores. I don't know how much thrift store shopping you do, Sean, or how you've done in your life. But if you get lucky, you can run into the quote-unquote electronics department in a thrift store and find a few of these. And we've already purchased two. And they're, like, literally, these used to be like $150.
They didn't.
$100. No, they were kind of pricey back in the day. New, like $100 for one of these, and at thrift stores, like $4 you can buy an old CD player.
But you got to bring your own batteries in because they don't have batteries. So if you want to make sure it turns on, so the first one we bought didn't work, untested. The second one we went and bought batteries, brought it into the thrift store, and it worked, turned on, so we bought it. It was $5. But it doesn't matter. Why are we talking about this, bro? We need to talk about playoffs.
Sorry.
How did you get on to CD players?
That's what we were doing today. We wanted to go back to this one and get the other CD player, so we were out and about today. Sean, we got up earlier today, and that was my point. This is the reason why I brought this up.
We got up early to buy from the 1990s.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like 1994... portable CD player that was at a thrift store. They had two of them.
We bought the one,
and it didn't work. So then we went back there
today,
and it was gone.
It was gone.
Somebody bought it in 2 days. It doesn't matter.
We were also doing some other, getting ready for the, you know, for the summer, for some of our gardening needs. We had to run out and get some. We were just running chores, you know, some errands and whatnot, getting ready for the summer
shopping,
going,
stuff like
you
that.
Know, all that stuff.
Anyway, Western Conference playoffs. You know, I don't know. What do we say? What are we starting on?
Sorry, I'm still recovering. I'm still moving off of my now fixation on CD players. It's fine.
Anyway, our listeners. Coffee. Oh, we didn't mention JS Bean Factory in St. Paul. Best coffee shop in the Twin Cities. Awesome place. Go get your coffee there.
At least I don't buy coffee in person there. We just get the beans. It's good. Okay, let's start on what series should we start on? The one that's just starting right now, Winnipeg, Colorado. You want to start there or you want to do...
Sure.
So
that was nuts.
Yeah, that game was crazy.
Yeah.
That was, two of the supposedly better goaltenders in the league gave up, a combined 13 goals?
Well, I don't know if Hellebuck is.
Counts.
Yeah. Wait, is it
George? Oh, sorry. No, why did I think Ottinger? It was obviously not Ottinger. Hellebuck gave up 6 goals, but they still won.
And didn't they pronounce it Georgiev on the broadcast?
I thought it was Georgiev.
That's what I thought, too. Let's pull out the handy dandy.
I don't trust any of our enunciations.
Let me look it up. I'm looking it up right now.
No, I have it here. It's in purple because
I
click on it.
Georgiev? Is that G-E-E or
Georgiev?
Georgiev. Okay, so the broadcast is wrong because I could have sworn I heard them say Georgiev, but it's Georgiev.
It's
anyway,
Georgiev.
Georgiev. So I thought this series was interesting because,
Georgi.
But is that
Georgiev?
I don't know. Is it G or G?
Anyway, the Americanized way to do it, which is totally fine in this case, is Georgiev.
Yeah, which
says Georgiev. I'm going to go with that.
Right,
Georgiev.
I'm shortening it up.
Georgiev.
To not make it sound like I'm doing yoga.
No, it's fine. But no, we have the Avalanche favored, although it's pretty close. We have them at about 56%, I think. Yeah, a little over 56%, with Colorado in 6 being the most likely. I don't know. I thought this is a really interesting series. I think before off air we were talking, and I think this is the one that I'm maybe most interested in, mostly because I think these teams are kind of I think Winnipeg has a lot of really interesting players, and they've over the last like year or two they've assembled a surprisingly deep team. I think overall they don't have
and they've made a lot of really good moves.
Yeah,
I think,
so
recently.
I think the big one that really paid off, and I think even at the time, at least I think we had some tweets about this, and I liked the trade for them was trading Dubois for Iafallo and Vilardi, who Iafallo and Vilardi have become two of their best depth players. They also added, I think Nino was last season, mid-season, he played around 20-some games.
Was he on the Predators?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he's been none of these players are phenomenal, but they've just been really...
they're really
solid players, I think, for them. And then they also, Josh Morrissey has really kind of come into his own as a fairly elite top pair defenseman for them. And obviously then... Hellebuyck is, I think, arguably the best goalie in the league, or at least been the most consistent. The reason why he's a little bit lower in our models is that in these kind of projections, we've talked about this, I think, in prior years, is that age tends to have kind of a bigger impact on goalies in terms of the projections than maybe some might think. So I think Hellebuyck's super old.
It's specifically for the whole population of goaltenders. Is yes, you are going. It seems like there are a few that can kind of beat the aging of most goalies, but overall, goalies age very harshly. And so when you get a goalie that gets into their 30s, our models just, I could go, go manually change that for Hellebuyck because I didn't because I don't do that. We don't do any ad hoc. The only ad hoc change I've ever done. Was I made Kirill Kaprizov a first overall pick when he was coming into the league? That's the only thing I've ever done. I'm admitting to cooking the books here. When Kaprizov was coming to the league, I asked some people who were watching him in the preseason, and I was like, "Would you say that he looks like a first overall pick?" And they were all like, "Yes, he looks incredible." And that ended up working out.
Bias. That's wild bias, though.
Back to
the series, I think that but it was funny because, Hellebuyck did not look the best goalie in the league in the first game. He didn't necessarily need to, and the Jets were able to hold out, 7-6, I think, was the final. And then the Avalanche were kind of I don't know. It was kind of funny, trying to write about them because it's – I think they've done well to support their depth and, kind of bring in other players. I think that a few of their somewhat recent acquisitions that were – maybe at the time, maybe a little bit worse than we thought. I think Josh Manson has turned into a really solid player. They obviously added Sean Walker at the deadline. They got Casey Mittelstadt, who I think kind of helps them out in depth. But I mean, their obvious strength is just having MacKinnon, Makar, Rantanen, Taves, at the top end, with then I think Nichushkin and Lehkonen also kind of rounding out that. And then I think the one question is, I think we talked about this before, the Avalanche have a history of always finding kind of a goalie that just kind of works. Georgiev just had a real down year this year, and I think that's kind of the biggest question. But I just think that the Avalanche and Jets are pretty interesting teams, and I think the series, at least in the first game, turned out to be pretty fun. It was a very entertaining game, so... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I was walking around. I was vacuuming in our house watching that game, and every other minute there was a goal in the first period, which is kind of funny because I'd look up from vacuuming, and it's like, oh, another goal. Oh, another goal. Anyway, yeah, fun series. Sean, anything to add?
I guess I'm really excited for the Colorado Avalanche to come back and win the series.
Yeah, I mean, we are higher on the Avalanche than I think most of the other models, but I still have a soft spot in my heart for Winnipeg and the Jets fans because we've never, and this is a proven fact, never said anything mean about the Jets our entire time online.
The Jets fans have never been mean to us online.
We have a great, always have had, and I will hope that we continue to have a great relationship.
It's Sabres fans, too.
Yeah, I think the next one that I guess if we're...
Also... Washington just scored, so it's 4-3.
Oh.
So, 4-3. I don't know if the Rangers can hold on.
But
anyway,
eating
a lime? What do you...
Sean's...
Sean just did had a weird action in the
Sean's
background.
Got a vodka back there with his lime in there.
No, tequila. Sorry. No, it's just water.
Just lime in it. Anyway, next series. What do we got?
I think maybe because you kind of mentioned it, we can do Stars Vancouver? Nights if you wanted to. What did you say, Sean? You pick.
He said Vancouver.
Well, I just said Vancouver because we did slightly talk about it. I don't know if you watched that game. I watched some of it.
The Canucks
actually,
game?
Most of it. Yeah, Canucks and Preds.
Yeah, we watched it.
It's a pretty good game. You know, I've liked the Preds as of like the last like 2-3 months. They're like, they remind me a lot of the Vegas expansion team in some senses.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Of like some misfits. They got decent speed. Like the way that they play kind of reminds me of that. And so I mean, personally, in my personal bracket, I did last 25 games Corsi 4 percentage, I think, as my, like, just factor.
Is that the vibes?
To go. That's the new vibes. Because the new vibes was so badly last year. That, like, this is the new vibes. It's like the complete opposite. So
I forgot about your vibes model last year.
Yeah. They're my upset. They're the, I think, the only one that I wouldn't go with the model prediction.
I mean, I will say that. Oh, sorry. Continue.
Oh, well, I don't know. I guess just to wrap up that little thought, though, is you know, especially with Demko out, I think they're in a position still where even though they're down 1-0, if they can take game two tonight, I think they're in a position really that they can upset. I think if they drop both in Vancouver, they're still on the back heels even with Demko out, so we'll see how that all goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think just my overall take on it was that obviously I think Vancouver has come into a really, you know, kind of their own in terms of their player, like just some of their high-end players obviously like and really kind of, I don't know, reaching their full potential, but also they, yeah, like with Demko coming back, although now he's looks like he's hurt. The Canucks, I think, are clearly like on paper the stronger team. But I was looking into the Predators and into the Predators a little bit towards the kind of the end of the season, just with like the central race and whatnot, or whatever race what it was. But I think one thing is that just like I kind of, it went under the radar just exactly how like I think how good like just several of the players were down the stretch. Like obviously, like, you know, Phil Forsberg and Roman Josi just were like absolute you know, studs for them.
Yeah,
but
Josi kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I think like we had him like second or third for in the Norris race this year, which is like, he just kind of, I didn't see him like all year in any of our like defenseman leaders. And then Josi just, I guess the last quarter of the season, he just turned it on.
Which is not really surprising because he's been one of the best defensemen in the league for years now. But also like their acquisition, I thought of Ryan O'Reilly, he's been like phenomenal. I think their top line is O'Reilly, is it Nyquist and Forsberg, I think, was the, at least that was the most played. I think one of the most played lines in the league this year, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. But also, like, another guy that we had, and I think we talked about him at the trade deadline, was, you know, one of the Minnesota guys, Tommy Novak. And then also a possible, like, at least on our kind of ballot, if you will, was Evangelista as a Calder favorite. They just have some, I think, some fun, like, scrappy players, and they... and then our models really like Saros. He didn't necessarily have the greatest season this year, but he historically has been one of the strongest goalies in the league over the last couple of seasons. So, yeah, I mean, I think that I kind of agree with you, Sean, that of any potential upset, I feel like this one makes kind of some sense because, I don't know. It just like feels...
It would, I'm sorry, Canucks fans, but it would be, to me personally, it would be kind of funny if this Canucks team, the PDO Monsters at the beginning of the season, lost in the first round of the Predators would be kind of a funny, situation.
I feel pretty bad to do with goalies or goaltending because Demko has just had, I think he's struggled with injuries and he was very good when he hasn't been injured, but it's just kind of unfortunate to see. I want to say he missed like most of last season, right, with a injury, and then he was out for like 5 weeks or something at the end of this season with a knee issue, and then it seems like it's another knee issue. So it would just be unfortunate if they, you know, they had Demko, who has, I think, historically been a very good goalie when he's been, you
know,
healthy.
Now, we could be, it's funny because we're saying this all right before the game starts.
I know, yeah.
So Vancouver could win, and then they'd be up 2-0, and then it's like, well.
And they could just look absolutely dominant. But
yeah.
I'm kind of just mostly agreeing with Sean's vibes here, which are just
also,
the
I have to say, Nashville completely surprised me this year. I thought they were not going to be good, and they were pretty solid, like pretty good team, and well, I did not see that at all.
I thought what was funny was that when they, I remember last summer when they acquired O'Reilly, I was just like, what do the Predators want to get O'Reilly, you know? And like they also, one thing I don't think I just hadn't realized was that how they bought Matt Duchene out last summer, and he's just been like really good with the Stars like this year after signing, you know, like I think it was, yeah, like a $3 million deal for a year. So it was just kind of funny. The Predators clearly thought they were a playoff team.
Well, and the Predators,
I will say none of the playoff model or the public models heading into the season had them over like 90 points, I think. So they were not really a projected, even after all the moves, were not projected to be a playoff team. So I guess, you know, kudos to the Preds for, you know, really battling in a very kind of, I guess not, there wasn't a lot of challenge for their, you know, their playoff spot with the Wild and Blues and Flames and Kraken and, you know, whatnot. So
they kind of took advantage of a bunch of teams just being of the mediocrity of the West, if you will.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think this, I don't know, it'll be interesting to watch. I don't know, Sean, did you flip over to the Jets, Avs yet?
No, it hasn't started. So.
Okay. I thought it was 8:30. Anyway, okay, we got
no, but this is the typical ESPN TNT lying about times. but it'll start shortly. It'll turn on after the Rangers.
So maybe Oilers Kings. You want to do Oilers Kings?
I didn't watch this game at all, but I mean, Oilers in four. I kind of saw that top line for the Oilers just went off.
Yeah,
did I see that
high on the Kings?
Did McDavid have 5 points? Or did he have four? He had four assists, I know. I think it was 7-4.
He had a goal
right?
too. No,
yeah, goal and
I
four
he
assists.
Had a goal too.
That sounds right. I don't know. I had it on in the background. I wasn't really like paying.
Well,
attention.
I think it was like they were up like
yeah they were.
They were like immediately up 2-0, I think. And it was just like, well, I had already watched like 6 hours of hockey.
Yeah, that was
like,
that was
okay.
I think what it went. We watched and I was like, I'm kind of done watching hockey for now. But they, yeah,
oh,
they're
five assists, not four. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I think the interesting thing was the Kings this season were just kind of weird. Like, I think they might have been, I think I said this in the preview, like the weirdest team in the league in terms of just like they started so hot from Sean's new vibe metric, the Corsis, and they like, and then they just like gradually just became average, like the whole after the end.
Well, also then Cam Talbot.
Yeah.
Like,
yes. Like 36-year-old Cam Talbot was like maybe their most valuable player this year. And I don't even know where he ended up in our model, I think, in terms of projection.
Well,
He was not projected.
He was not good. He has not been good for several. I mean, he's 30. Yeah, 36. Is he 36?
I'm pretty sure he's 36.
And it's like, I just, no one could have projected that Cam Talbot would have been this good this season. I don't care.
Do we
who
have
you
him
are.
In our initial awards? I think
we did have him in our initial, like right at the bottom. Oh, and right. Then his last game of the season was really bad, and he fell out. Of the top. So that's the problem with doing the end of the, you know, because the awards were due for writers Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, which is for the, like, I mean, it's like less than 24 hours after the last regular season game. So it's like, well, we had to get them out just, you know, because I know all the writers out there are going to, all the writers, they, you know, really are going to use our list.
Exactly.
You know, we need to, you know, but.
You have to think there are a few writers out there who just open it up like it's some like work survey and they just like randomly pick players that they heard their names of and they're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Right? They're just like in an hour.
I will say though, I take that very seriously though. You might think I'm joking, but no, I take it very seriously that our awards threads.
Sean hates this.
I know
he hates us
about
talking
anyway,
about it.
But what next series?
Sorry, Oilers Kings. We were talking about Oilers
Kings.
Yes,
Oilers Kings.
I don't know. The Kings have like I think a pretty solid team that didn't really end up being as good as they looked at the beginning of the season. I think they kind of still rely on some, you know, I don't know how old Kopitar and Doughty were. Maybe they're two of their best players, if not their best players still. I mean, obviously they have some like, you know, some great depth. Dubois did not really work out the way they wanted. Gavrikov was fine as an addition, but like, you know, I don't know. Everyone thought he was going to be the best defenseman, you know.
He's the next Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, or whatever. And I don't know. He was just fine. You know, he's good. I don't know. I mean, the Oilers are kind of, it's the same kind of same thing they've been. It's just like you have McDavid and Draisaitl, and then obviously Hyman had a phenomenal season. I think Bouchard has really come into like, you know, kind of a premier defenseman in the league. And then they just, I think their depth is kind of
Bouchard
still,
is definitely not talked about enough, I don't think.
I think Ekholm was one that I had just
Ekholm
like,
was surprisingly
I had not
good.
Really followed this season about how good he had been for the Oilers. So that's another piece I think they kind of, you mm-hmm. know. And then I think one of the probably the biggest story of the Oilers is that they just like had a terrible start to the season, and then
they
Skinner,
had a terrible results with fantastic underlying numbers, fired their coach, and then it evened out.
And
that's
then,
great
results. Great. With,
yeah. Yes, and then Skinner kind of stopped being atrocious like he was, and he now is, like, I think one of the better goalies in our model. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of on paper makes sense. I think the Oilers, yeah, they.
What did we have them at? 70?
70-something. 70.
It was actually a little lower
71,
than
71. 71.
It was a little lower than I was thinking it was going to be, but. I think
part of it is the Oilers still have maybe some depth that's not
depth
particularly
issues.
Yeah. Like,
and I think the Kings probably are models a little higher on some of their players than like what their
yeah.
end of the season.
Corsi Kings type of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, so that's pretty much with the Oilers, and then what? Stars Vegas?
Yeah,
is that we're going to end on that one?
Which I think we were maybe the most off from the other models that I saw was how high we are in the Stars. Which
yeah,
I think that Dom had the series like was it like 59% for the Stars or something like that? Maybe 60. And I think what did we end up like close to 80? Didn't we? Or no? Was it lower?
I think
than
it was higher than that.
So
check it. We have the article.
I'm checking.
We have the knowledge.
We have Dallas at 78%. Givers a little 78? Bit 78%. And I mean, I think part of it is just that the King, like our model didn't really like the Knights heading into this season. They haven't really liked the Knights during the season. Obviously, we already talked about this. Like, I think the Knights made maybe the best acquisitions during the trade deadline, and they added like a lot of good pieces. And then they're clearly doing the shenanigans with Mark Stone on LTIR, and he's magically better, and he scored the first goal in the game, in game one. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. The Knights are just a weird team.
Well, it's also like the whole Stone business, monkey business, if you will. I don't know why.
If you will,
it's just like it's kind of hard to predict because, like, with a player like Stone, when they're so injured, like if it just really screws with our projections because his results are going to be a lot lower because he did play at any time. So then our models think he's like not very good, you know, or not, I shouldn't say that, but that he's like
as good,
injury.
He's still 73.3 rating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right. It's like he probably should be higher than that, but his injuries are lowering his impact. And I think that's the same with a lot, like some of the players when they do this. Is that like, well, he played some, it's like not the same as like when Kucherov missed an entire season and then came back miraculously for the playoffs. and then it's just like, it's kind of, there's some, you know, some funny business going on, which then I think maybe it results with how Vegas has been managing their team. It might kind of throw off our models because.
And I think even over prior seasons, like last year, the Knights had a ton of injuries. And I think that they also, like this year, like Shea Theodore missed a ton of time this year.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's they're just a weird team that has done some weird things. I think they still, you know, they obviously some of their moves were quite good. I think we like Hanifin, for instance, is like they're according to our stuff, like their best projected defenseman on the team. Obviously, like I think Aiden Hill and Logan Thompson is like kind of a duo are very, very solid for the team.
And also, I should say, I don't think we would expect Ottinger to be that bad.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. That's the other thing is that our model still just absolutely loves Ottinger. So,
well, I think the Stars in general.
And all of the Stars players in general. Also, they were one of the best teams in the regular season from like many, multiple different metrics, right? I mean, they were what, second in the league?
Yes.
In points?
Yeah.
Behind the Rangers?
I think so. Didn't they finish like 1 point behind the Rangers? I think.
Yeah. So it's.
Or am I
thinking
of another team?
Let's check it.
I thought the Canucks had home ice. They finished it off.
The Rangers won? Okay, let's check the... I think it was Dallas.
Scores, where are the standings?
Yeah, Dallas finished with 113 and the Rangers finished 114. I did my research. I knew what was going on.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't think it's just... I saw that and I was like, oh yeah, that's like... I don't really know what to do about that. Because like our model just really likes the Stars. But
I think historically it has.
It has too. I mean, it's just their players, Robertson, Hintz, I mean, even like nobody talks about Thomas Harley. Our models love
Harley.
No,
that's not true. Harley.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, you just weren't seeing. People were on Thomas Harley, I think, this season. Or at least like, because he's like, I think, is it his second or third year? Like he's 20.
But I mean, Harley Heiskanen might be like the best pair in the league.
Yeah. There was another pair I was trying to think about.
They might have the best top pair in the league, and then they still have one of the best top lines in the league.
I mean, there's a couple. I think like, I don't have the pairs up right now, but offhand, yes. I think, and then the other thing is like our models have loved Oettinger. He had a down year this year, but I think just because of his age and his prior experience or prior performance, that's kind of bolstering him a little bit, and then. Yeah, I mean, they also, I think, adding Tanev, and then the, we kind of already talked about Duchesne, and then Mason Marchment actually kind of, like, came back around. I think his first year with Dallas was, like, not particularly great, but even he was great. And then there was one other, and then Wyatt Johnston, actually.
Former Calder favorite,
yeah.
I think.
So I think in this situation, the Knights are kind of, again, a little bit of an uncertain team, where last year that uncertainty came from injuries and I think from weird kind of time issues. This year was like maybe some new players and also some other injury issues and then some kind of new, again, it's just like they're an uncertain team, and I think just our models have been a lot higher on Dallas than the Vegas for like a year or two now. So that's, I think, basically... Yeah, but Vegas is destined.
I wouldn't be surprised, and I would absolutely hate it if the Golden Knights won. That's where I'm at with this. Is that I think the Stars should be a Stanley Cup playoff favorite or a Stanley Cup favorite out of the West. I would really like to see Stars Oilers in the Western Conference Finals. That's kind of my hope for the finals. Or for the Western Conference Finals, I think that series would be really fun.
You said Stars-Oilers?
Stars-Oilers.
Yeah. So right now, that would be my favorite.
Here, I'll just do this. In the West, I want Stars-Oilers. In the East, I kind of want, like, Leafs-Hurricanes. Let's just say that. I just think, Leafs-Hurricanes. That would be a fun series.
I guess you have to kind of think. I'm looking at the bracket right now. Because, yeah, I think I agree with you, bro. I think I could see... I don't know. I just like the Jets team because they got a lot of those analytics guys that I've been watching.
They have Ehlers. We didn't talk about Ehlers either.
Ehlers like been one of my favorite players for a long time. They still have Nino, who might be my favorite player in the league still. Hellebuck is just a phenomenal goalie. And I think if the Jets, they're just a really well. I think the team has made some good acquisitions.
I should say that they got absolutely shelled from an underlying metric standpoint in game one.
It's fine. We don't need to talk about the vibes.
They did not deserve to win that game, if you will. But anyway, we won't talk about it. It's all vibes, though.
I think Stars Oilers is like, and then I don't know. I don't really like the. I guess I maybe would rather see just like I think maybe just Florida Carolina because
that would be fun.
I think
that would
be a
fun series.
Are a little bit more interesting than the Leafs. I think the Leafs are more funny. I think they're a funnier team that has just like just some bad players that are just like
they are playing. So our models do not like Labushkin,
no.
at all. And do not like Ryan Reeves at all.
No. And also, again, for the content, the Leafs are always hilarious. It doesn't matter if they win or if they lose. The Leafs fans are always just going to go crazy, and I find it very funny, at least who we follow. So shout out Leafs fans who are just insane. It's always a fun time. But, I don't know. Do we want to do our picks?
Sean, who do you want it to see in the East West Conference
Final? I know
we
were starting this. I'm not ready for this.
just vibes.
Just vibes.
I guess Bruins, Canes.
Okay.
The Battle of New England.
It's admirable.
And I'll go Avs, Preds.
Oh, okay.
In the West.
I mean I can.
Oh, he's the dark horse. He's the Predators all the way.
Sean's got that the new vibes. The vibes are immaculate. This
you don't want to
summer.
See Oilers. I want McDavid to win a cup.
No, I'd love to see. I'd honestly love to see the Preds win the cup. I think that'd be fun.
Oh. No,
I do want to see that upset run. Also, because I think that they're a good enough team to do the upset run, or like to like realistically where I think they could do it in a fashion that doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, Saros.
Dumb PDO trip.
Saros becomes the best goalie in the world.
Do you really think Nashville can beat Edmonton? Like,
yeah.
Wow, that's some real
that's
faith
bold.
Right there.
That's bold.
Beat him in the aggregate.
Evangelista.
We actually just rewatched Moneyball for I don't know how many. Sometimes I'm just in the mood to like have a feel good movie that I think is very solid, and we had just watched this really there's a movie called Bad Lieutenant that stars Harvey Keitel from the early 90s. That's the most like. Everything about it is just terrible, and there's no redeeming qualities about the movie at all, and it's just not a feel-good movie in any way. And I was like, you know what? I need to watch Moneyball again. And so, yeah, we just rewatched it. I'm starting to know more lines in it that I would care to, like, it's so cliche that I love Moneyball so much that I'm a little bit embarrassed by how much I love that movie, which maybe I should. Maybe I should just own.
Embrace it?
I should embrace it, yeah.
Just like Eckerton. That's how I feel sometimes. It's like
Evangelista?
Evangelista. Yeah. There you go, yeah. Or, who was the other player? Anyway, doesn't matter.
But
yeah.
I think we've been going far too long. I don't even know where we're at in time. Yeah, this is going to be a bit of a long episode. But no, I think the playoffs are, I think so far, and this is how I feel in the first round every year, are always fun to watch in the first round because we got Sean over here truly believing in the Predators out of, you know, for not any real reason, you know, for the most part.
Sean wants to see Bruins Predators Stanley Cup final. That's what he wants to see.
Yeah,
I think it'd be great.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. We can...
Sorry, I don't mean any disrespect to Predators fans. I want to see Oilers in the final. That's what I want to see. I think McDavid, I want to see him destroy it. And, you know, also, I wouldn't complain about seeing Matthews and McDavid face off in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
I would not either.
I really like Austin Matthews. I think he's a very fun player to watch.
Austin Matthews might be the most, for me personally, the most enjoyable player to watch. Because it's like, yeah, McDavid and MacKinnon are really flashy, and same with McCarr.
I think
Matthews, when you watch him in the defensive zone, he's just so good.
He is.
And it's like, combine that with his offensive abilities, it's like, as a well-rounded player, it's like,
that's
what I want to see in a hockey player.
The other player I love watching is Fox. I love watching Adam Fox play. But these are just like kind of the obvious ones. Sean likes watching, like, I don't know, like Brett Howden, you know, or I'm trying to. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Sean likes his Charlie Coyles, the most slightly above average player in the league. You know, shout out Charlie Coyle, great dude. Anyway, let's end this so I don't have to edit.
Sean has no defense for himself.
We finally got back to doing a podcast. Thank you for listening. We know it was a long one, and tell us what we got wrong, and we'll be back maybe this time next week. Definitely not recording on the Monday, I don't think, because I think the Bruins are going to play on Monday.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
For anyone who's wondering, as long as the Bruins are in the playoffs, Sean will not let us record during the game, which is fair. I get it. So that's why these episodes are going to be slightly offset. We have to manage. Although maybe we'll do it early. We'll see. But yeah,
they might actually be pushed to a Tuesday. We might actually have normal time, but we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Well, my people will get to your people and we'll figure it out.
All right. Sounds good, Sean. Take it easy. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.